Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. I'm Christian Warren, and along with me is Megan Jade and Sarah Wells. How are you guys?
Just great.
Just great.
Good to be back in the studio.
I wanted to see who you're going to say first, because I see you deciding who am I going to say first, Sarah or Megan,
right,
every week.
Right.
And I always like to see what you say.
Well, if you're a listener out there, know that this week's episode is going to be a little bit different. We're going to add some new things in. And if you notice, there's going to be some music even playing in the background as I'm speaking right now.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And it's this week's artist. And this week's artist is the band May. In honor of our interview with Jeff Bachman later in this episode, that was a concert that Jeff and I went to a long time ago. Also, you know, we've got a sermon discussion about the kingdom, which Brad spoke on yesterday, which is really good. We're going to do a news segment, but we're no longer going to call it the news with Kevin Tinkin. In fact, we're going to have its own sound drop and everything, but it's going to be the news with all of us, okay?
Oh, I love it.
We're all a team, all right? We're all the Spoutcast.
The news with all of us.
Yeah.
Are we calling it that?
No.
The news with all of us.
We'll also obviously interview Jeff Bachman, and that's actually going to be a two-parter. So it's going to be, we're going to have part one of the interview this week and then part two of the interview next week. We just really wanted to hear Jeff's heart behind. Just first of all, Jeff came in and really wanted to talk about how much he loves the well and just what it was like to be a part of the well in the beginning and kind of where it's evolved to now. And also the reasons why, if you haven't heard, that Jeff and his family have decided to move to Rock Harbor Church out in Costa Mesa. Mm-hmm. So it's a good interview. And yeah, looking forward to that. Also, we'll talk about our one and why, our favorite superheroes, and why. You guys have one ready?
I've got all of them ready.
Are you going to say Captain America's rock hard abs? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, he's pretty hot, but I actually have other reasons for my favorite superhero.
Good, good, good. And then in the end, we're going to do announcements, but we're going to kind of change announcements up a little bit. We're going to do announcements, but I've decided instead of all of us jumping in on announcements, we're going to let Sarah Wells kind of take that announcement segment and just toss us some announcements at the very end. How's that sound?
I can't wait.
Yeah. So,
was Sarah informed of this before?
She doesn't seem surprised.
About 2 minutes before.
Yeah, about 2 minutes before she was informed.
Okay, cool.
Sorry.
Yeah. Like right before you walked in.
Yeah. And also, you guys noticed that my head was shaved today, so.
He's not completely bald.
Right.
But his head was shaved for the 100 fans.
Totally. Not true at all, but we'll call it that.
Okay.
Thanks, Sports Clips. So
how much did you spend on your haircut?
I got it for free, actually.
There you go.
Because I complained.
Free $99.
Exactly. Well, enjoy some May, and up next we'll have a sermon discussion.
Well, what if you miss it? How big a deal is it? Is it like you got grounded? You had to eat extra vegetables? Like happened in my house? You got double the chore list? No, look at verse 51 of chapter 4. Or of chapter 24, rather. It says, you will be cut to pieces. You will be placed with the hypocrites in a place where there's called weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's Jesus' way of saying, look, you're going to be thrown into hell. This is not a joke. If you miss his return, if you are not ready, and he comes unannounced, and you're not prepared, it's not just a slap on the wrist and you're grounded. It's game over. So make sure you're ready.
Well, that was a snippet from Brad Bell's sermon this past Sunday. And we're going to start doing that. We're going to start playing a little bit of snippets from the sermon.
I like that.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, I really do.
Partly because what ends up happening is I end up having to explain the sermon.
Right, and it would be way easier just to do that.
Yeah, I think that snippet really gives picture to what the sermon was all about. It's all about the kingdom, all about, he actually went through two parables in it, but all about this idea of just, are we ready for Christ to come back, in a sense? And yeah.
And the reality that life is not, it's not guaranteed.
Exactly. And I think part of this sermon kind of stemmed from a sermon that Sam gave about a month ago on the Pearl of Great Price. And then there was also the sermon that Shay gave a long time ago that we discussed in episode 5 here. Shay kind of talked about the 5 talents or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we've discussed a lot of this idea of the maybe already not yet concept, but I think there was a lot of good things that we can pull from this sermon.
Well, and I was on vacation. I was out of town for the past few days, and I went to a different church yesterday morning, and they spoke on Psalm 103 and talked about how we are but dust. And it was so great because that yesterday morning I heard about, you know, our lives are short. We are just a vapor. Mm-hmm. We are here today, gone tomorrow. And then to go last night and hear Brad talk about, you know, that our lives aren't guaranteed. And are we ready for Christ?
Did you guys go to the 7 o'clock last night?
Yeah.
Just totally off topic slightly. Brad had mentioned something about Bill Cosby in his sermon.
Right.
Okay. But in all the other sermons, he was saying that Richard Pryor did it. And he was like, when someone brought that to his attention at the 5, Brad was like thoroughly upset. So he said, make sure you let people know that all the people that came to all the other services, that it was Bill Cosby who talked about Noah.
Right.
Not Richard Pryor. Because Richard Pryor would probably not talk about Noah.
Right.
So I just want to clear the air there.
Actually saw that Brad tweeted that.
He did. He's really concerned that people are going to start going, like, looking up Richard Pryor.
Right,
and
because
stuff.
A lot of people were like, Richard Pryor, that dude, like, cracked out and died something.
Well, so what I'd like to focus on just for a little bit today is Brad did read the parable of the 10 virgins, and that was in Matthew 25, and I really like this parable. I think he read 2 parables, and I think that this parable gives a great picture of kind of this Jesus says, be ready for me when I come back. Mm-hmm. And you guys remember the parable where, you know, a couple of the brides, they forgot oil in their lamp. So they had to go get oil, mm-hmm. and the party was kind of closed. And it's like, well, you missed it. I'm sorry. You're out, you know? And Brad really, he put it pretty harshly. He was like, you know, that's the truth. If you miss it, you're out. If you choose to deny Christ here on this earth before Christ comes back, well, then you're out, you know? Mm-hmm. And Brad said this quote that, and I don't know if he did it to 7, but it was definitely a slam at everything that's been going on in the church blogosphere world. Mm-hmm. But he says, I really wish that love won, but ultimately it doesn't here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did he say that at the 7?
I think he worded it differently, that like the love that does win is the love that was just, that's through Christ on the cross. That's
right.
That's the love that wins.
He said, if you are prepared for Christ, you will have the joy of the master.
Yeah.
And, but that was like, I'm glad he said that. I think that was, for me, I mean, people could obviously, who love that book or whatever, mm-hmm. could obviously take it as like, you hate her or whatever. But I think it was necessary to be said and just a good kind of thing to go off of. He asked the question, are you prepared? And I just was listening to the sermon, and as he's telling me, are you prepared? I feel like there are days in my life, and maybe you guys feel this way, where, I'm prepared for Christ to come back. Mm-hmm. And then there are days, and this is just me being candid, where I go, man, like, maybe today wouldn't be the best day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think, why would I ever think that? Have you ever thought like that, Megan? Or just, am I just an idiot?
No, I think that there are things I think I'm supposed to achieve in my lifetime, in my 80 years of life.
Right.
I feel that conflict if Christ came back tomorrow. Well, I haven't had kids yet.
Right.
Well, I haven't gotten married.
Same thing with
me.
Well,
I haven't done that. You know what I mean? There are things that I think that I need to achieve before Christ returns, as if those things are better than Christ returning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He kind of, after he asked the question, he kind of said like, to the 10 virgins, he said, you know, were they prepared? Well, no, they weren't prepared, and they had their chance and they missed it. And Christ is not going to take them home now. Kind of, you're not going to be invited into the party. And as much as I want to get invited into the party, there's those times where I'm like, I want to be invited in, but I would like to have kids first, God,
right.
you know, and it's a sad reality that I think of, but I am excited for Christ to come back. I'm fearful of that day. I think I'm nervous about it because one, if it's in my lifetime, like it's almost this slow buildup in life. You're constantly worried about it. You're constantly like, all right, when's Christ coming back? Mm-hmm. I'm excited to go to heaven, but you don't really know when it is. And, mm-hmm. and so
it's an unknown thing that could be.
Right.
Well, and it's terrifying because totally. The reality of that is that Christ comes back and all of these people I've neglected to speak to about the Lord mm-hmm. will go to hell. Mm-hmm. And right. that is a hard reality.
Yes.
And I think that like lights a fire in me a little bit, but then at the same time makes me feel completely debilitated because mm-hmm. I go, I don't know the end. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when. And I feel so overwhelmed by my inability to reach everyone that I reach no one.
Right.
And so I have this like internal conflict and the struggle. And Brad said, there is no later.
Yeah.
And I know mm-hmm. I struggle with that in myself, like just with little things like, well, I'll do that later. Or I wanted to skydive on my 21st birthday and no one ended up wanting to go. And so I didn't skydive on my 21st birthday. And I said, I'll do that later. But at 25, I'm like more fearful of skydiving than I was at 21. And I just kept saying, I'll do that later. I'll do that right. later. And that's a silly example because I do that with a lot of things.
No, but
the reality is there is no later.
No, but I feel like that attitude is what high schoolers say about their
sure.
faith. Like, I'll do that later. Let me live my 4 years in college first
right.
and I'll come back to you, Christ. And
right.
I think that was the harsh reality of what Brad said. He's, you know, at the very end, he was kind of like, well, you didn't even know me, you know? Mm-hmm. And you don't, at this stage in your life, you don't know me. I don't know you. Get back from me. You know what I mean? And just that idea of like, we can't take breaks in our lives. We can't mm-hmm. take breaks in our Christianity. If you remember back a while ago, Brad, who talked about hell along for the Jonah series, he even touched on that. He touched on, you know, just the reality of the things going on in the world. And I couldn't help but think yesterday, like the earthquakes that happened in Japan and whatnot. And it's like, just up and done,
right.
you know? And it's like, they can't change that. There are no breaks. There are no like, well, I'll get to it later. I'll get to my Bible later. It's like, no, it's now. And you better figure it out now. You better be prepared for the party. Make sure you, in the context of the 10 virgins, make sure you grab your oils and your things mm-hmm. to make sure your light is lit, you know? And are you prepared? And that just question has resonated with me all day. Am I prepared? Am I ready for it? And yeah, I'm just still wrestling with that.
And I think that is a lie that Satan uses so much, especially in young people, is you have time, you have time, you have time. And I mean, I think it's Brad or someone said like the greatest lie that Satan wants you to believe is not God doesn't exist, but you can figure that out later.
Right. And totally that. Yeah. I think that's the whole message of everything.
Because it's and even more than like, I mean, believers and non-believers alike, because for non-believers, they can put it off. Oh, I'll figure out the God thing later. But for
right.
believers being like, oh, I'll get serious about it later. I'll talk to them later. And
right.
really we're not guaranteed, you know, tomorrow to the later this afternoon.
Right.
You know,
so we're going to kind of wrap it up. But what I want to say is that on episode 5 with Shay Sumlin's sermon and with this sermon discussion when I was gone, when you guys talked about Sam's sermon, I think all these things really tie in together. Even listening back to the episode where we touched on hell during the Jonah series on the podcast, I just think that all these sermons are coming at a timely manner with the guy who said the world's going to end then, and then the Love Wins book. And I just think that these sermons that we've been hearing over the last couple months are just really good, and really good for, I think, the church to hear as a whole. So.
And it gets people thinking about eternity, because
right.
if we didn't bring this stuff up, we can just keep living life and not think about what
totally.
Happens after this. And it just brings up good conversation that could be hard, but I mean, vital for
well,
eternity.
And the reality is in God's story for mankind, like this is obviously ordained at a time where God is wanting his people to understand mm-hmm. the severity of heaven and hell and what this relationship
right.
with him looks like. And I think that there's, I mean, that to me shows, you know, just signs of like God is serious about this.
Right.
Like, and he's
yeah.
bringing this to light, and we're learning something that 50 years ago maybe wasn't so much this is
right.
obviously here for a time, and we have to pay attention to it, otherwise we're gonna miss it.
Yeah. And I love that we as a church are talking about it. So if you haven't caught up with Brad's sermon this past week, it's really good. Check it out. And up next we got the news, so stay tuned.
It's what I've asked for, it's what I've needed. Well, you knew you better matter, at least you did, then something. But once again, well, something's happened. The confidence you held in us, the rope we almost hung ourselves with. At times I wonder if we really took the steps to break right through it. I know that there were better days, but to see the light and to feel the rays,
And now the news with Kevin, Christian, Sarah, and Megan.
All right. As you notice, we now have our very own sound drop. Actually, it's no longer going to be the news with Kevin Tinkin. But what's going to happen is that I'm going to be the one bringing the news. And Kevin Tinkin and Sarah and Megan, you guys are going to be commenting.
I prefer criticizing.
You prefer criticizing. And so, Kevin, did you bring some special guests with us today?
I did. I have my 17th month old daughter, Anne Noel, who just spilled Sunny D all over Sarah.
My name is Megan.
Which I've done that twice. And I also got Willy Boy here. Willy, can you say hi?
All right.
Will, how old are you?
He knows he's supposed to be quiet, so he's whispering. But Anne.
So I got some really good stories that I'm going to bring today that I think are going to make you smile. So
right, I'm in.
Kevin, did you know that a sister shot her younger brother with an arrow that she was pointing at a tree, but it actually hit her brother in the forehead? And
are you kidding? Did he die?
No, he did not die. He's doing fine, but police says that it appears that the 14-year-old girl accidentally shot her brother in the forehead with a bow and arrow that she had been pointing at a tree. And
I'm just not quite sure this news is appropriate for the audience that we have right now. These two kids. Kids are going to be like, that's what I'm going to do to my sister.
So, yeah.
Was he in the tree? Was he next to the tree? Was he dressed up as a tree?
Yeah. Was this like a production? Will's reminding us we're supposed to be quiet. No, Willy Boy, you're supposed to be quiet. We could talk. You can talk, though. That's all right. So it was this like a grade school production where the kid was dressed up as a tree?
This happened to be in, do you want me to? It was in New Jersey. People out there, they're a little strange and odd. But it just happened. And I just think it's really funny because have you ever played that game, Kevin, where you shoot an arrow straight up in the air and you just start running around and hopefully it doesn't land on you?
Nope.
How often do you play with bows and arrows?
No, I've played that game once or twice.
I have done the thing where you take the lawn darts. I don't know if you remember lawn darts.
Yeah, I remember lawn darts.
And you throw, like, take a handful of them, you throw them in the air in the middle of the night, and you try not to get killed.
I've never played that one,
try
man.
Try not to die.
Wow. It's a really, it's a game they developed at Harvard.
Totally. No, it sounds like a really smart elite. Person's game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I heard about that in the Darwin Awards.
Yes.
What are the...
Yeah, that would probably be in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Just making sure.
Now, Kevin, I brought another story for you here.
Yes.
And an usher... Usher, as in the rapper, which I know you're very fond of, Kevin.
Huge fan. By the way, you mentioned Power Rangers earlier. And I was just like you had a backstory on the Power Rangers, and I was just like,
I was
really?
A big fan of the Power Rangers back
Have
in the day.
Have we talked about Power Rangers yet?
No, we actually haven't talked about Power Rangers yet.
We have.
So.
We record this thing out of order. Oh!
Yeah, I know.
Big secret! Kevin messed it up this time.
Mine's Here's my news. Blown. Here's my news about
Megan
Usher.
Megan just kay? Locked Kevin's children
I
in
didn't.
A soundproof
and
room.
And shut the door. Annie shut the door. And Will's opening it.
That's right.
Now, here's my news about Usher. Not Usher as in the rapper, but Ann Usher has seen The Phantom of the Opera 9,000 times.
Wow. What?
Wow. Yes.
Oh, that's because he works there. I get it.
He works there. He's seen it since its opening on January 26th, 1988. And it's Usher Sylvia Bailey, who's 86 years old. She has seen it 9,000 times, but it has had 10,000 times that it's played. So
she's missed 1,000? That's a lot to miss.
He could be the Phantom of the Opera.
Right?
Yes.
What'd Will say?
That would be so scary, right?
Oh yeah, he knows that the Phantom of the Opera is scary. He says, "You're
probably."
Smart.
He was so scared.
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera is pretty scary.
Is it Phantom pretty scary, Willy Boy?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I hope it was okay.
Do you think that Will? Do you think that if you saw the Phantom of the Opera 9,000 times, you would think it's scary every time?
I hope I was okay.
Okay.
He hopes he'd be okay.
Oh, okay. So
do we have a mini Kevin in the making?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Is he gonna be funny like you? He already
kind of
is.
He kind of is funny. Can you tell a joke? That's it.
That sounds like you.
He's a character actor.
Now, I got one more news story for you here, Kevin, if you don't mind.
Do it.
All right. Basically, do you watch baseball?
Nope.
Do you know who the San Francisco Giants are?
Yep.
Do you know what pitcher Cole Hamill had to do in order to beat the San Francisco Giants?
Say that again.
Cole Hamels is a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, okay?
No way.
You're not going to believe it, Will, but Fox News Channel says that Cole Hamels, a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, has to, in order to beat the San Francisco Giants, Fox News says that Cole Hamels has to drop a deuce. So this aired on TV yesterday. This aired on TV yesterday that Cole Hamels, in order to beat the San Francisco Giants, needed to drop a deuce, which is a term for a curveball.
See, this is when they would really be sad that I'm not around, because I can drop a deuce.
I would love to hear you being a commentator of like a sports game.
Today on the field. What's his name?
Kurt Hamels.
Cole Hamels.
We're really hoping for Kurt Hamels to drop a fat deuce on the field this day.
Well, basically it says this.
Oh, and there he's done it.
It says, it's very simple for Cole Hamels. All he has to do is he's got to drop a deuce. In his 12 of his last 13 starts, he's given us 2 earned runs or less. So the announcers go, we can't argue there, gents, although we're hoping he's taking care of business already.
Here's what's hilarious about this, though, is at first I was really accepting because you were using the terminology drop a deuce, and then it just hit me what we're actually talking about, which is my there's a twist in this story.
No, we're talking about
it's a play on words.
But the other play on words is something that when Kevin talks about, I get.
It's your favorite.
It's my favorite subject. I love this.
Well, yeah. I figured, you know, we got the kids in the room and you know, totally.
I'm not even going to share, but they both dropped deuces today, and it was terrifying.
Not a good day.
Really, boy, was it scary?
No, I said, well, what you do? Don't be scared. Don't be afraid of the dark.
Did you sing? There's
some dark in your diaper. I was a little scared.
Did you sing
that
to your dad when he was changing your diaper?
No.
Oh.
Don't be afraid of the dark.
I don't know if it's a funny thing to be afraid of the dark, but now, Will, would you, I'm going to ask you this again one more time. Would you see the Phantom of the Opera 9,000 times?
No, I hope I was okay.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
He's sticking with his answer, Christian.
All right, just making sure.
Do you get scared?
No, I didn't get scared anymore.
What changed? What happened? Why aren't you scared anymore?
I'm not scared anymore.
Do you sing a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What song do you sing?
I sing Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, right?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, Kevin and Will, thanks for being here. And Megan, why don't you unlock the third child out of the closet?
The third, as in Kevin's the second.
Yeah, I'm the first.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. And up next, we got our first of 2-part interview with Jeff Bachman. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Kevin.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Give up now doesn't make much sense. So this is my goodbye, surprised, 'cause I thought I could walk it home tonight, but you're leaving me here on the defense.
All right, we are back, and once again, that music was from May, and the inspiration for playing May on this week's episode is because the person we're about to interview and I, Jeff Bachman, went to a May concert at, what was the pizza place? Jerry's Pizza. And so, Jeff, welcome to the Spoutcast.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
Dude, thank you for being here.
First time speaker?
Yeah. First time caller, second.
But I'm not a caller, so it's like.
No, it's all right.
First time guest, first time listener.
There you go.
Yeah, because the
so
first
goes our second question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm glad you're on the show. I feel like I asked you maybe once before when we were promoting summer camps, or maybe I didn't.
I was on a big tour of some sort.
Yeah, you were on a big tour, but
this is it.
I apologize.
In Israel?
Yes, I actually was with Sarah.
I apologize.
I really definitely just made a Michael Jackson reference. I said, "This is it." That was the tour you were on. Get it?
Anybody?
No.
Yes.
Sorry, and then he left. You know,
Jeff's a big NXS fan, so
you're gonna have to slow down away from me. I'm sorry.
But I do apologize to get you on the show on these terms. However,
it's okay.
However,
I'm okay.
You know, I want you on the show because you know, I love you, and I think that this is gonna be a fun interview, and we're actually gonna do this interview in two parts.
I'm not sure if I toss that out there. You're promising that there's going to be so much quality stuff that you have to slice this up into two.
Are you a quality guy?
Guaranteed.
Well, that doesn't mean he's a quality interviewee.
Right.
No, I think
maybe half of the second part might be us all crying. So.
Right, exactly.
So, the second half is going
to
be just
Am I supposed
pictures.
To touch on what's on the table here?
No, I brought you guys something, and I brought it for everybody. I brought enough to share for everybody. Like for me, I'm an Ohio guy. Like that's where I was born and that's where I grew up. And every day when I'd come home from school after a long day at school and like doing my work and my business, my mom would have a big old glass of Sunny D there.
Did you have business like at
business.
School?
Sure.
Like, yeah, you totally.
Had, okay.
And so
she had Sunny D for
She had
yeah.
Sunny
for
D
you.
For me and it was always so refreshing. And you guys have been here working for so long and like I'm just jumping in halfway. So I brought us all Sunny D. So I thought
wow.
that would be a good thing.
That is
yeah, I'm like surprised here.
It brings like vitamin C and
you know who
sugars?
Loves Sunny D? Andrew Feil.
Oh.
Loves
well,
Sunny
there's
D.
One
Where is
him?
He? Isn't he on the picture?
Well, yeah, but he doesn't show up.
I was expecting to see like him and Tinkin. I was
Kevin's
have all...
usually around. Not right now though. But
I thought you guys were gonna like all sign my Bible and stuff like that.
No,
it's be
sorry.
Good.
Okay. So
no, but you do have a car sticker on your shirt. Would you explain that, please?
Oh, I do have it. It's not a car sticker. It would be a Doc Hudson sticker, which is also Paul Newman. Rest in peace. My son went to the dentist today, and he had no cavities. And he got a Doc Hudson sticker, but then when he got a Lightning McQueen sticker, he upgraded and he said, "Daddy, you can have that." And so he slapped.
So you got the boring old guy.
I got the stupid dead actor.
Do you remember Doc? But in his young age, though, he was a good racer.
Oh,
yeah, no,
he won
totally.
The Piston Cup 4 years in a row.
Right?
I know.
You know, if you don't, I don't know if you know who Tomater is, but he's been on the show once or twice.
Yeah.
So he's called in.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
Tomater?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's called in a couple times.
I know Tomater.
Hey, so Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to take this away from you. Can I give you your Sunny D?
Yeah.
While you're starting, I'm going to
Why don't you pass me along a Sunny D?
Okay.
So,
Dave, there's one for you, too, but you may not get it right now.
So if you guys were at church this past Sunday, Jeff was in a video, and it was a video with Brad and Jeff just about Jeff, kind of where God has taken him and his family over the last couple months, and then kind of the future of the Bachman family here in the next up and coming months. And so we wanted to get Jeff here on the show to kind of explain what's going on in Jeff's family. And Jeff has been at the well, I believe the second longest behind Brad, correct?
In a full-time capacity.
Full-time
yes.
capacity.
Yeah, there have been people like I know Mike and Katrina have been here longer, but their roles have either changed or they've cut them down or something like that. So yes, in a full-time capacity, I have held that record.
Right. And so I know that Jeff has some history here at the well and wanted to come and share about just his history here at the well, but also just where God has kind of led him and his family. And so we'll kind of start with, first of all, Jeff, what has your role been here at the well and kind of what is your history of the well?
Sure. My role and history are kind of the same. Part of those would be, I'll tell you a little bit in kind of the story of what I've been a part of, but right now my role is I'm the high school pastor. So started as student ministries, but as it grew, I had the privilege of actually inviting you onto staff, Christian, and then from there is that they so you and I have had the honor of working kind of side by side here for the last 2.5+ years.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
and kind of something that is going on in your family right now that we obviously heard in the video last night.
Yeah.
But why don't you tell us kind of where God is leading your family right now in the next, I guess, month. So
yeah. It started back in kind of June and really in July, but in June is that I was approached to consider what it would look like to turn in a resume at a church called Rock Harbor. They are a church in Southern California, been around for about 15 years, have a very, actually, you know, I say this just to give people context, but has a very similar feel to The Well.
I believe in the beginning stages of The Well, we went out there to figure out some stuff that Rock Harbor does, correct?
Yes, that is true. And by the way, that's my Sunny D.
Oh, is that like private information that shouldn't get out
there? No, I don't think so. Right. Well, in fact, as we sat down and talked, I can't do both of those at once, drinking. And so I'm just going to set that aside, but I am refreshed. When we started talking, they said, why would you even consider this? And I said, we've always had a huge respect for Rock Harbor. They have shaped us. We have spent a lot of time learning from them as a church. And so, you know, I think that it was just one of those where we just really respected them.
Right. And so, you know, had an opportunity to go to Rock Harbor.
Right. So turn in a resume. And then from there, I actually went to Israel and didn't think much about it.
Right.
Didn't hear back from them again until the last week in June.
Okay.
And it was kind of one of those things where at each point, my wife and I would sit there and we're like, no, no. And then we're like, no, maybe, no, kind of, no. Mm. Gosh, we love where we are. And so, and that was just the ongoing battle that we've been in the last month, is that it really has been a process of loving what we're doing and loving where we are, but also really starting to just feel that tug of where it is that God was going to take us. And so it was about mid-July where we were starting to feel like this was at least a possibility. And so we just really committed to pray about it, and we just spent some time seeking some counsel and wisdom and talked with each other, and then started to figure out just the logistics of what it looks like to live down in Southern California. The central campus is in Costa Mesa.
Right.
And then we just found a place to live in Irvine, so about 15 minutes away from
there. Nice.
That's great.
So we did that, and then it was kind of one of those things where just very slowly kind of the scale started to tip, and we felt like God was leading us to go there.
Yeah.
And be a part of their family now.
And so when does that start for you guys?
Officially, we start there September 1st.
Nice.
And my transition here is kind of little gradual bits. Like my last WSM is this Wednesday, so August 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when this goes live, but August 10th.
Tomorrow.
Okay, so good.
Yeah.
My last day in the office will be the 12th.
Okay.
Packing up. And then we'll be around for 2 weeks after that, kind of packing up. The Well has been so good to us in supporting us in this and making sure that our family is cared for, that we're provided for, but also that we're not leaving in a panic, or that we're not we're able to take care of the things that we need to go there and do what we feel like God's called us to do.
Now, do you feel like is it pretty tough for you guys to leave The Well? I mean, this has been your family for a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is on some form or fashion, this has been our family for at least church family for 12 plus years.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's been a long time. And in that we were, I was employed with another church, but, you know, that's part of the story.
Right. So. Now, basically you've been around, you said 12 years kind of at The Well, in and around The Well, back at Northwest and stuff.
Sure.
But what is kind of, I know you mentioned that you wanted to share a bit about this, just kind of what is it about The Well that makes it so special, and why have you guys been sticking around basically since the beginning?
Sure.
And I know that you wanted to share this, but I think it's also good for people to hear that you're not leaving The Well just because The Well is like the worst church ever and I'm out of here. Or
no, absolutely. Yeah. Like this is, you know, and we've said it similarly every time that we announce it, but our hearts are so heavy in leaving. And yet we feel confident where God is leading us and that we feel called. So there is excitement. It's not like, oh God, I don't want to go there.
Mm.
But so it's that tug. And, you know, it was that way. Even when we got employed at The Well in 05, the church that we were at and a part of, like, I actually just went back to a wedding this last week to that church and loved those people. Like, though we were excited to come to The Well, like, our hearts were breaking for that, because those are people that had been a part of our lives and had shaped us for, at that point, it had been 4 years. So I think for us, it's more about relationships than other things. Like, I know the student ministry is just going to be fine. And I know that all the different parts of the Well and the staff that I've had the privilege of being a part of and having my hands in, they're going to be great. God's going to provide. In the same way that he's calling me someplace, he's bringing other people in. Mm-hmm. So I think my heavy heart is more probably more of a personal thing and right. a selfish thing that I'm sad that I don't get to come into the office and see Christian and Sarah, and that like Megan and Sarah have been helping us with like some of our family just issues with education. So I think of things like that, and it's like we're shaped by the people that have made us who we are. And yeah. so, and I trust God's going to do that there too, but at least right now, like these people aren't going to shape us on a daily basis.
Right. And it's always tough to, even when Lacey and I moved out here, to just jump into a new community, you know?
Oh yeah. Like right. I mean, you've been a part of this exact same thing.
Right. And it's not only jumping into a new community, but you're having an opportunity out there to do kind of what you did at the Well. And that's kind of jumpstart a youth ministry.
Yeah.
There is something that exists, but your job there is to get it going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that it's not pressure, but it is a man, like you're hired to get a youth group going. And I kind of felt that out here a little bit with the junior high group. Plus I needed to get into community. And I know that that's just a lot all at once. Plus a move. It's just a lot of, I think, stress all at once.
Yeah.
And are you guys doing okay with that? You guys feeling excited? It's just a lot.
I mean, maybe I'll come back in 3 months and I'll tell you. I don't know. Those are like, now you're freaking me out with all these things.
No, I'm kidding.
I think all those things are legitimate
yeah.
concerns. And I think we're going to kind of take them one thing at a time. Like we're packing our playroom today. Like I can't pack the whole house at once. I'm going to pack our playroom. And so I can't worry about being a part of a youth ministry and figuring out the calendar and finding leaders getting into community. So it's like, you know what? Today, I'm going to figure out a logo for our youth ministry. And then tomorrow I'm going to go and have coffee with a couple leaders. So it's one thing at a time. And I'm trying not to get overwhelmed with the bigness of it. I'm also a pretty good procrastinator. So that I can deal with that stuff tomorrow.
Right.
So if we talk to you 2 days before moving day, you might be like running around crying, like trying to do everything.
No, but I'm married to an achiever. So,
right.
So Cher is, we're packing today. It's like August 8th. I mean, that's plenty of time.
Well, she's packing. You're doing the Spoutcast drinking Sunny D with
hey,
us.
Hey, we're both doing kingdom work here. That's what I say.
It's all for the Lord. We are back, and we're going to choose a winner of our Fast Five contest that we have every other week that we haven't had in a long time. But I know we have some T-shirts coming out here pretty soon. We've got a couple things in, and Jeff saw it, and he laughed, and he said, "Are you serious?" That's how great the shirts are. So they're coming, and they're going to come hot off the presses here pretty soon. But before the T-shirts, we'll still give away one more iTunes gift card, and we'll reach into our Fast Five hat with all these entries from the last couple weeks. And the winner this week is, Jeff, somebody whose email you read, actually. Ashley Brand.
Yeah, Ashley B. Yay, that's my roommate.
So,
she's my friend.
You guys are going to have new music around your house.
That's right.
Yeah, we are.
I know that she's going to spend
it. Isn't that kind of nepotism?
Kind of.
I do a drawing.
Yeah, I would agree.
So
I'm just saying it's benefiting a Spoutcaster.
A person that's very close to you. Interesting.
Well,
you know what? I know that she's going to spend it on a soundtrack of like a movie. So, and
which
it's like just going to be musical. So
right.
It's probably not, doesn't matter. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I will benefit greatly.
So with this final segment, we're just going to let Sarah kind of end the show with some announcements, and then we'll close it out at the end. So why don't you give us some announcements, things are going on at the Well that we need to be aware of.
Okay. I got two things for you here. One is coming up this fall is the beginning of Academy. The internship program and residency. Those three things are all starting up around the same time. Residency is a 9-month Bible program, walking through some Old Testament stuff, New Testament, and spiritual leadership. And if you are interested in doing that, that's every morning, 4 days a week, 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. And it is fantastic and worth looking into. You can check out the website. Academy is every Monday night at 6:15, and they'll be going through the Old Testament books. And internship program, if you're interested in learning about ministry and seeing if you are in, if you are cut out for ministry, or you want to look behind the scenes of what we do at The Well, you should check out the internship program, all on the website. And last thing we got here is we are in need of Kids Connection workers. So if you like playing with kids, like hanging out with kids, it could be babies or 12-year-olds in sixth grade, and we could definitely use you. So if you're interested or have any questions, check out the website, call the office, email someone from Kids Connection.
Right.
We would love to give you more info.
Yeah, and also for the Spoutcast, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Spoutcast or twitter.com/TheSpoutcast. You could text message us or call us in 559-321-SPOUT, sort of. Yeah, or email us with your one and why, which will be in 2 weeks because it's a two-part interview. So the one and why in 2 weeks is actually going to be your favorite movie comedy and why. So it's your favorite movie that's a comedy and why. Okay, and you'll know why. I got a friend coming in here who's going to talk with us a bit about movies. He's going to come in here in 2 weeks. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. And Jeff, thanks for being here.
It was my pleasure.
You work at Chick-fil-A?
Huh?
He's going to.
My pleasure.
Oh,
it's my pleasure.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. All right, this is The Spout. We are out.